WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. As a conservative Christian organization sues Harrisonburg's school board over its pronoun policy, we take a look at the school board's political leanings. UVA's health system cancels certain non-urgent surgeries in the wake of a Helene-caused shortage of IV fluid. And Shenandoah University offers a virtual reality experience that transports participants into the debates that spawned the Constitution and created the Electoral College. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, October 8th. A conservative Christian organization is suing the Harrisonburg City School Board over its policy regarding students' chosen pronouns. In a press release, the Alliance Defending Freedom says the lawsuit is on behalf of three city school teachers who are protesting a policy defending students' rights to choose the pronouns that identify them. The lawsuit claims the policy violates the teachers' rights under Virginia's Free Speech Clause and the Virginia Religious Freedom Act by compelling them to speak a message to which they object. The Southern Poverty Law Center cites the ADF for supporting the outlawing of LGBTQ plus rights and arguing that a so-called homosexual agenda will destroy Christianity and society. The Harrisonburg City School Board has not shifted to the right, unlike panels in the surrounding counties, and the six-person board's liberal leanings likely won't change after the upcoming election. Freelance reporter Bridget Manley has more.
Four candidates are vying for three open seats on the school board this fall. Kayleen Siegel, who previously led the Shenandoah Valley Young Republicans, is seeking a third term on the panel, while newcomers Hazar Pastor Perdomo, Matt Snyder, and Tim Howley are running as a progressive bloc. Kara Dillard, interim executive director of the James Madison Center for Civic Engagement, says Harrisonburg's unique demographics could explain its relatively liberal school board.
I think it is a really interesting factor and perhaps speaks to the incredible racial and ethnic diversity that the city experiences that ends up having a more progressive flavor for the Harrisonburg City School Board and the candidates who are running for election.
Harrisonburg is a refugee resettlement city, and students in city schools represent 73 countries. If elected, Pastor Perdomo would become the first immigrant to serve on the city school board. I'm Bridget Manley.
The University of Virginia Health System has canceled certain non-urgent surgeries scheduled at UVA Medical Center in Charlottesville. The Daily Progress reports that's because of a shortage of IV fluid caused by damage from Tropical Storm Helene. Hospitals, nursing homes, and dialysis centers across the country are running low on IV fluids after Helene forced a factory in Marion, North Carolina, to shut down operations. The factory is the largest supplier of IV fluids in the U.S., providing 60% of IV products used by American hospitals. Albemarle County Fire Rescue recently received a Federal Emergency Management Agency grant to help hire and train seven full-time firefighters. The $1.74 million grant will allow the department to make sure there's 24/7 coverage at the North Garden Station, as well as other parts of Albemarle County. There are currently five firefighters with ACFR who are on a daytime schedule. Starting in January, the new firefighters will attend a six-month recruit academy to be trained on EMT skills and emergency vehicle operation, among other skills. The Virginia Military Survivors and Dependents Education Program, which makes college nearly free for injured vets and their family members, faced controversial cuts earlier this year. But after public outcry, those cuts were reversed, and now legislators have to figure out what to do to keep the program viable amidst rising costs. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner has more.
About $90 million was thrown at the program in the short term to cover more than 8,000 VEMSDEP beneficiaries this year. But the state's nonpartisan watchdog, the Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission, or JLARC, offered a few long-term solutions. Among options is adding a good academic standing requirement or applying VEMSDEP waiver funds only after federal benefits have been exhausted. But both options would only have a small impact on the total costs. Bigger changes could include not covering graduate-level degrees as the program does now, setting a standard coverage rate instead of covering full costs, or increasing disability requirements. These options would have a larger impact on the program's costs. And JLARC's final option increases the existing residency requirement from 5 to 15 years. This would lead to the most dramatic cost savings. Senator Bryce Reeves is himself a veteran but doesn't qualify for VEMSDEP, and while he's open to finding some ways to wrangle costs, he also doesn't want to renege on promises the state's already made.
We do need to look at those costs, but we can look at resident requirements and some of those things. I don't know that anything's off the table, but I also know that we have to hold true to the promises that we made to these folks.
Legislators have from now until January to draft legislation that will need to be voted on and approved by Governor Glenn Youngkin. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tim Kaine hold double-digit leads over their opponents, according to a new poll. The Virginia Mercury reports the poll by the Wasson Center for Civic Leadership at Christopher Newport University shows that Harris leads Republican Donald Trump by 11 points among likely Virginia voters. In the U.S. Senate race, Democrat Tim Kaine leads Republican Hung Cao by 20 points. The results of the poll are based on 800 interviews with registered Virginia voters who are likely general election voters. How good is Senator Tim Kaine at getting bills passed? His Republican opponent says he's not very effective. But the record shows several significant accomplishments, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
During a recent televised debate, Republican candidate Hung Cao tried to make the case that of the hundreds of bills that Senator Tim Kaine introduced,
only three of them made it through.
That's completely wrong.
That's a 99% failure rate. Disarming
bombs.
Check
the tape on that. That's completely wrong.
When asked where they got that number, the Cao campaign sent a link to Tim Kaine's page on congress.gov with a filter for sponsored legislation and became law. Only three of Kaine's bills met that criteria, which is actually more than many senators. By that metric, even the most successful senators have a 99% failure rate. David Halleck is a former chief of staff to Senator Mark Warner.
The key is being able to get your bill attached to a vehicle that's moving, because the way Congress operates is they end up passing these big bills that are actually 40 or 50 or 60 bills rolled together into one omnibus bill.
A spokesman for the Kaine campaign says some of the senator's most important work is on bills that he did not sponsor, including efforts to combat fentanyl trafficking, reduce tobacco use among kids, and helping military spouses. He also pointed out that the Center for Effective Lawmaking at the University of Virginia says Kaine was the most effective Democrat in the 117th Congress for getting health legislation passed into law. I'm Michael Pope.
In the midst of yet another contentious presidential election, faculty and students from Shenandoah University have created a virtual reality experience that transports participants into the debates that spawned the Constitution and created the Electoral College, WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Imagine Philadelphia's Independence Hall in 1787. The founders of the American government in breeches and frock coats lit by windows and candlelight, debating the structure of the House and the Senate, the perpetuation of the international slave trade, and how the new nation would elect its presidents.
Other delegates will dispute you, but that is how we make decisions. Let us join them.
A new virtual reality experience called The Great Experiment takes you there and lets you participate. It was unveiled at Shenandoah University in late September.
You can go ahead and put this on, and then you'll twist this in the back to tighten it up to what fits you comfortable.
I tried on a VR headset and controllers. Scanning the assembly room in the Get to Know the Delegates mode, I selected Roger Sherman, who told me about studying for the bar and his first wife's death. Richard Forenbach came to give it a spin, too.
I had been to Independence Hall with my own children in Philadelphia, and the room looks remarkably the same.
The experience has increasingly interactive levels, where you end with debating the constitutional tenets yourself.
While VR has been around for a surprisingly long time, the broader project of narrating history in this medium is very much in its infancy.
Kevin Hardwick, who teaches history at James Madison University, was one of the project principals who spoke at the launch event.
Our project has thrived on the contributions of engineers, historians, voice actors, voice directors, dramaturges, editors, debate coaches, marketing specialists.
That included the work of
north of 100 students.
Mohammed Obaid is the co-director of the Shenandoah University Center for Immersive Learning, or SKILL.
That also included building new facilities at SKILL. It included integrating the Great Experiment and its various components into classrooms across many disciplines.
Students photographed sculptures of the delegates, from which they modeled the 3D avatars that speak to you in the VR experience. They recorded voice actors reciting the Founding Fathers' words. Then they recorded movement actors portraying gestures and facial expressions that they mapped onto the avatars. Retired theater professor Sally Anderson and her dog, McDuff, directed the movement actors.
They needed the bodies to get into the mocap suits to actually show on screen what those characters would be doing.
Mocap stands for motion capture. The actors had to be expressive while working within the parameters of the technology.
They needed to subverse themselves, especially into the words and the emotions behind it. This is about government. Are you somebody who is gesturing all the time? You can't necessarily do that because they keep finding their hands disappearing.
The creators of the Great Experiment hope that virtual reality will impart a deeper understanding of this history and its implications than a textbook or documentary could. J.J. Roussella came from a theater background, founded Skill, and now works for his own immersive learning company, Access VR.
We have high school government students who need this. You want to know why? Because they're like me, man. I can't listen to a lecture and stay awake. I need to be occupied. I need to be active. I need to be involved in the learning.
The project has already inspired spin-offs. Michael Reynolds, who's studying VR design at Shenandoah, showed me his generative AI program. Users can chat with one of four founding fathers, and the AI generates responses based on that person's characteristics. While I talked to Reynolds, a young attendee was taking George Washington to task over why he enslaved people.
All AI has some kind of safety features. So like if you ask, I don't know, like Copilot, how do I make napalm? It'll avoid that question. Same thing applies here. We had a history class come up to us while we were over at William & Mary, and there's something about, I believe it was George Washington's teeth coming from slaves. And as the class was asking him, he would do his best to dodge the question because that's like considered a sensitive topic.
Typical politician. All jokes aside, the Great Experiment offers a chance to engage with these historical figures, and moreover, their ideas, which still shape our political system. History professor Warren Hofstra was another leader on the project.
We are in an election year. The Electoral College may become, once again, a flashpoint, point of controversy. It will be maybe challenged, but the more people we can get talking about it, the more maybe we can contain whatever the aftermath of this election may present us.
The project was published in association with the University of Virginia Press, meaning it's gone through all the rigors, such as peer review, of any other piece of accredited historical scholarship. A light version of the experience is now available for free for MetaBrand headsets. For WMRE News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
To see photos from the launch of The Great Experiment, visit WMRA.org or the app. After years of fundraising, a statue of Henrietta Lacks was unveiled in South Boston last week. Cardinal News reports that the community and area businesses raised about $50,000 for the statue. Lacks, who was born in 1920, was treated for cancer when she was 21 years old. Doctors saved cells from an examination of Lacks that have since been used to develop polio and COVID-19 vaccinations. Finally today, because of all the cloud cover, last week was a slow time for solar energy in the Commonwealth, but some arrays have found ways to be productive even on rainy days. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman has that story.
The Buzz at Black Bear Solar Farm in Buckingham County is a pilot program featuring four hives with 45,000 bees and one queen apiece. Tim Eberle speaks for Dominion Power, which owns the property.
We are trying to find different ways to add uses to this land so we keep the land in Virginia's farming community.
Each hive produces 40 to 120 pounds of honey in a season, but beekeeper Chuck Burden, who maintains 200 hives in the Shenandoah Valley, says this property isn't profitable yet. It does, however, allow him to meet area farmers and explain the need to protect land and plants for pollinators.
Educating them about honeybees, educating them about the use of herbicides, insecticides, fungicides, and all that.
White clover, dandelions, and a number of wildflowers grow between the solar panels, and Dominion did check on neighboring fields to be sure they weren't sprayed with harmful chemicals and could benefit the bees.
These bees have a foraging radius of about 3 miles. And so we had to make sure that there was ample food, not just for the bees that we wanted to put here, but for the existing bees.
For their part, the bees will pollinate crops growing in surrounding Buckingham County. The 13-acre site is covered with 4,400 solar panels, and Dominion hopes to double the number of hives next spring. I'm Sandy Houseman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Tuesday.